Now, what's a village without its church? Well, the village of Langham in Pembrokeshire has St Jerome's. It dates back to medieval times and was originally built by Flemish invaders in 1200. But the building's in need of a bit of TLC, and the people of the village have come up with some rather clever ideas to get it back on its feet. Pam Hunt and Liz Rawlings are here from Langham. Tell us about St Jerome's, first of all, and the Flemish connection.
Well, St Jerome's was endowed by Adam de la Roche back in 1185. He was descended from a Flemish settler. It's been serving the community quite well. The Victorians decided to rip it apart, and we sort of, in the last 100 years, have been living with that legacy. And it, by the time, well, by 4 or 5 years ago, the insurers were threatening to pull the plug on us, and action needed to be taken. But it needed more than just repairing.
And this is, wherever you're listening in the UK, this is a common story. I mean, the insurers Absolutely. Saying to people who own churches, well, I'm yeah. sorry, but the roof's a bit knackered and you need to do the wiring. And suddenly you've got an enormous bill and small dying congregations.
Well, we were very, very lucky in there was tremendous support from the community, because it became not just the restoration of the church, it also became a major community project which had loads of different aspects to it. So we had research, we had the DNA going on, we had archaeology, and finally the tapestry which is now in the church.
Well, we'll talk about that in a moment, but it is interesting, isn't it, that you will have perhaps hundreds of people in villages, most of whom don't go to the church, and then suddenly when someone says, well, it could be last orders, we're closing here, suddenly everyone pulls together.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, whether or not people go to church, they do rather love the building that sits in the centre of the
village. It's emblematic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. But, I mean, one of the views we had when we were sort of putting this project together was that why should a building only be open one day a week? And it needed to be able to serve the community for all 7 days of the week in a variety of ways. And the idea was, well, we need, you know, a little kitchen facility. We needed a toilet. I mean, and trying to get to let you put a toilet into a medieval church is very difficult. You know, we needed those facilities if we were going to open up to the whole community.
And you made a tapestry.
Yeah.
This wasn't to fix the roof, this was to look at.
Well, it was part of the way of bringing people into the church and also involving the community to tell the story of the Flemish who came to Pembrokeshire and who set the village up.
So almost like a cartoon, it tells the story of the Flemings coming to the Cleddau.
It's beautiful. It was, all the drawings were done by the children of the two local schools, which were pulled together by Fran Evans, who was an illustrator, and she created the six panels, which go from 1066 to 1452, and if you like children's drawings, which are naive and innocent, it is beautiful. It really is lovely.
Now, one of the other projects undertaken was a DNA search to try and analyse the DNA of people who live locally.
Yes. We asked for men in the village who could trace their father line back at least 300 years to give a DNA sample. What we were looking for was Flemish links with these men, because if they were here in Langham in 1700, then the odds were they were there in 1200, or their ancestors were there in 1200, and we wanted to do that. But the results were mixed, except in the case of one person, which I'll let Liz explain.
Well, Norman Roach, who lives in the village still, he was one of our volunteers, and his DNA is a very, very rare haplogroup, and it is directly linked to the Irish Roaches and consequently back to Godbert the Fleming, who was born in Pembroke Castle in 1096, which is awesome.
Blimey, that's not bad, is it? So you're giving him the bill to fix the roof now, obviously.
Well, he's the Lord of the Manor, so he should.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Lottery funding is a big part of this, isn't it?
The Heritage Lottery have been brilliant. And in fact, they said, I started working on this in 2012, and I rang them one day and said, I'm coming up to Cardiff, can I come and see you? And we were working on a standard, good old-fashioned places of worship grant. And I said, but we want to do this. We want to have this tapestry. We want to do the DNA. We want to do an archaeological dig. We want to, at the old manor house. We knew where the manor house was, but it's long since gone. And we want to create an app that will communicate with the tapestry. and everything like that. And they got as excited as I was at the time. And a week later, they phoned me and they said, "You're applying for the wrong grant." And I said, "Oh." And they said, "Yes, you are." And they said, "What you need to apply for is the Heritage Grant, not the Church Places of Worship Grant." And the reason being that Places of Worship will give you anything from 10,000 to 250,000, while the Heritage Grant starts at 250,000 and goes up to 5. But they said, "But don't expect that much."
Ka-ching.
But, yeah. You know, we were at the bottom end of that. So
yes. A lot is written about the sort of fragmentation of communities in yes. Wales, and that we're all so busy on social media in our own houses that we don't sort of mix much more as communities. But, I mean, the reverse is true here. I mean, it sounds like the community really has pulled together.
We had in excess of 100 volunteers who worked on a variety of projects, you know, the research, the DNA, the archaeology digs, and constructing the tapestries. The tapestry alone took at least, well over 2,000 man hours of work.
Can I just add, we also had volunteers in Flanders helping us on this.
Yes. Ah.
The University of Ghent and the University of Antwerp.
Because they were the ones who invaded in the first place, weren't
yes,
they?
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah.
You can send some invoices to them. So where are you now in terms of restoring the place? I mean,
it's finished.
It is finished. It's all done.
The church has reopened. In fact, they've had their first Eucharist this morning since it closed. And at the end of the month, we are having an official switch on of the tapestry. And one of our experts had suggested that back in the 1100s to 1200, South Pembrokeshire was virtually a colony of Flanders because so many Flemish had settled there. And we've invited a representative of the Flemish government to switch on the tapestry for us. So we're rekindling our link with Flanders for one day.
And this is part of this big medieval weekend.
It's separate.
That follows.
Yeah, the medieval weekend, it's the 28th of April to the 1st of May. And the first on the Saturday, it's the reenactment of the marriage between Sir David and Lady Joanna de la Roche and in 1315. And the parts are actually being played by Norman Roche's grandchildren, Simon and Sian. And they are first cousins, and Lady Joanna and Sir David were cousins. They weren't quite that close. So we're going to do a complete reenactment, and it'll be absolutely accurate, and then a wedding banquet.
Well, we wish you continued success. It's a great story, and congratulations. Pam Hunt and Liz Rawlings, thank you both very much.